Hello and welcome to What's Killing My Kale. This is a podcast from University of Minnesota Extension all about integrated pest management tactics for vegetable and fruit producers. I'm Annie Claude and I'm an Extension Educator here for fruit and vegetable production.
And I'm Natalie Hoytel, an Extension Educator with the Pesticide Safety and Environmental Education team.
Welcome back to our first episode of this Fruit and Vegetable IPM podcast. This first episode is an introduction to integrated weed management. And in this third section of the episode, we are talking about special considerations that we have to think about when managing weeds in perennial systems like grapes, hops, apples, and raspberries, as opposed to when we're managing weeds in vegetables.
So we're going to start with a clip from our interview with Charlie, where he talked about how he manages weeds in his hops.
Well, hops are a perennial crop, and so cultivation within the row is a little difficult because you don't want to kill the plant.
Right.
Our soil is different from the soils in a lot of parts of the world where they grow hops, in that it is heavier clay and it stays wet a little longer. And so, you know, whereas in Europe or in Washington State, they might cultivate very regularly. They might throw soil on top of the hops throughout the year, and then the following spring, they cut off the top of the hop and move the soil back over. We don't have that luxury because, I mean, we can't get in the field that much, really. We don't want to break our soil up like that. So we have to manage them a little bit differently than they might manage them in other parts of the world. So the biggest problem, I think, is probably weed control in the first year, just making sure that the plants get the resources they need and you're not feeding the weeds that are growing. So, and there aren't, it's not like there are Roundup Ready hops. There aren't a lot of herbicides that you can apply. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of hand weeding in the first year, just to get the plant established. And then in subsequent years, there are a couple pre-emergent herbicides. We use one every spring and it helps a lot. There are grass herbicides to control grasses. There are burn down herbicides that will eliminate foliage, and that helps with disease control too, because there are really bad diseases that like humidity. And if there's a lot of plant material around the crown of the plant, it can cause downy mildew. And so getting rid of that foliage is helpful in controlling downy mildew. There are a couple of herbicides that are kind of, I stay away from them because they're kind of nasty. So I prefer not to use them on hops, but they're labeled. This year we're trying something new with, we got a grant for our hop work and I bought a propane weeder so that early in the year, typically the first flush comes up in April, not this year, typically, and, it is often, it can have disease spores on it. And so for that reason and for the timing of the crop, the first flush is usually eliminated, and then the second flush is what's trained to grow up the strings. So we got a propane weeder to eliminate that first flush of growth and to eliminate weeds within the row really early in the season. So we're going to start trying that this year, next year probably.
All right. So Annie, how do a lot of the issues that Charlie was talking about in hops relate to other perennial systems?
Well, I remember at one point, Charlie was talking about how in the first year of establishing your hops, it's really important to keep weeds away. That is definitely true with grapevines as well. So we need to make sure with young grapevines in the first year of establishment that they do not have any weed competition. This can drastically impact the growth of those vines, impact how well they overwinter, and how long we have to wait before they can produce a reliable crop of grapes. The thing is that hand weeding in a large vineyard more than half an acre is really not practical, especially if we're planting a vineyard into a field that has not been tilled a whole lot. Weeds are just going to come right up in that vine row. And cultivation around vines is also a very risky technique because when we cultivate around vines, we are killing those grapevine roots. Grapevine roots are very shallow and close to the surface. That leaves us with a mainly herbicide approach to weeds in grapevines in their first year. So then there comes the question of, well, how do you spray herbicides around grapevines when they're very small, they're vulnerable, their leaves are right there next to the surface in the zone that you're spraying? And the technique that a lot of growers will use is putting grow tubes around new vines in order to protect them from herbicide sprays. So I grew up on a vineyard, and I've spent a lot of time putting grow tubes on grapes, and just a couple weekends ago, I was in the barn stapling grow tubes together. It's definitely a lot of work, but it saves a lot of time and headache out in the field when you're actually spraying, because you don't have to worry as much about actually accidentally hitting your grapevines with that herbicide.
Right. So once you have establishment after your grapes or your apples or whatever fruit you're growing is a couple of years old, how does that weed management strategy change?
Realistically, a lot of growers are still using a mainly herbicide approach to weed management in vineyards, but many grape growers are very conscientious about the amount of herbicide applications that they're making. Many grape growers are not applying herbicides every week. You know, if you get your timing right and every herbicide application that you're doing is highly effective and efficient, and you're doing it when the weeds are small, and you're using the right herbicide products that are effective on the weeds in your field, a lot of grape growers can handle their weed populations with just 3 applications of herbicide per year.
Okay.
So right now, around this time of year, we're using a mix of a pre-emergent herbicide and a burn-down herbicide like glyphosate or glufosinate. And then that pre-emergent will hopefully keep down a lot of weed competition until about the middle of June, so about 6 weeks. And then the grower would need to go back out into that vineyard, check their weed populations, and see if they need to do another application at that point in time. And they might not. It just depends on the year.
And so what about just mowing? So that, like, the one farm that I worked on that had an orchard had, like, a robo...
The robo
a
crop?
A robo mower. Not a robo crop. So it's like a Roomba in your living room, but outside, sort of.
Okay.
Is the best description I have. But, I mean, you could do that, or you could just mow in between rows and then maybe spot treat for weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some sort of balance there to reduce herbicides and only use them where you really can't get to with the mower?
Oh, yeah. In between the rows of vines, especially here in the Midwest, we're definitely letting the grass grow in between the rows and mowing that regularly.
Okay.
And there are some growers who are more tolerant of weeds within the rows than others. Mm-hmm. And there has been some research showing that leaving a few weeds there in a vineyard under the vines won't be that big of a deal. But yeah, some will go in and spot weed. Some will go in and just cut down any perennial weeds that are trying to grow within rows. Something that's a challenge in perennial systems is we have to make sure that we're not getting young volunteer trees coming up.
Right.
And shrubs. It does happen. Another weed management technique in grapes, which is something that I studied somewhat during my master's, not as a weed management technique, but just in general, is growing cover crops in the row directly underneath the vines. And growing a dense grass cover crop has been found to have really good weed suppression benefits in vineyards. So to me, this is a promising technique for somebody who's trying to cut back on their herbicide use. You might actually be able to get some weed suppression benefit during the season and potentially cut back on the number of herbicide applications you're making. One final consideration with perennial systems, specifically grapevines, I know that there are some growers in Minnesota who are using under-row cultivation techniques, such as a weed badger, as weed management within the grapevine row. And I understand the interest in doing this because it's a way to control weeds within the row without having to use an herbicide. However, I strongly caution growers to be very careful with this technique. It's very iffy because whenever you are cultivating underneath your row, grapevine roots are just a few inches below the soil surface. Most grapevine roots grow between 0 and 6 inches. And so whenever you use an under-row cultivator, you are also killing your grapevine roots, and that is going to affect the vigor and the ripening and the quality of your grapes.
Right, so those are some really good tips for perennial systems. And the last thing we wanted to talk about as we conclude this integrated weed management episode was high tunnel systems. We talked about it with Charlie and thought this is a direction that a lot of fruit and vegetable growers are going, and so it'd be good to learn a few tips about weed management in high tunnels.
So one more specialty system that you mentioned that I think would be interesting to talk about is the ginger, which you said was in a high tunnel or a greenhouse?
It's in high tunnels, yeah.
Okay. So do you have some high tunnel weed management strategies?
Yes. Do not let weeds into the high tunnel. That's the weed management strategy. We had an issue for a while with oxalis, which is a greenhouse weed, basically. And that's because we had been growing plants in the greenhouse that got some oxalis in the pots. We transplanted to the high tunnel, and it kind of got out of control. In just keeping weeds away from the outside edge of the tunnel, where the seeds can blow in through the vents or creep under the sides of the tunnel, that's really helpful. But otherwise, hand weeding in the high tunnels is what we do.
Do you have some sort of sanitation system where, like, as you go into the high tunnel, you maybe change your boots or do something where you're not tracking weed seeds in?
That's a good idea. We don't do that though. But I mean, if there are weeds growing in the high tunnels and they might have seeds on them, we pull them and throw them out of the tunnel. You don't pull them and lay them down.
Yeah.
And in our other perennial crops too, if we're pulling weeds that have seeds on them, we take them to our burn pile. We don't set them at the side of the field or do anything like that. They go in the burn pile, just so the seeds don't become an issue.
That's good basic sanitation.
Yes. There was a weed scientist that told me once, you get the weeds you deserve. And so he's absolutely right. You're not going to eliminate weeds. You get the ones you deserve, or the ones that you manage your system to control some weeds, you will get other weeds.
All right, so that wraps up this three-part episode on weeds. Thanks for tuning in to the first episode of What's Killing My Kale, and tune in next month for a discussion of spotted-winged Drosophila.